global controls will have to be imposed, and a world governing body will be created to enforce them.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat. We go deep, homeboy. Eric, open your mind. Drink from the fountain of knowledge. There's lizard people everywhere. That's some interdimensional shit. Wake up, Aaron.
Yeah.
This is only the beginning.
Dude, you just blew my mind.
Tinfoil Hat.
Yes, and welcome to another episode of Tinfoil Hat. Thank you all for tuning into the last episode. There was a little chaos, a little craziness, but it's back up and we're rocking and rolling. So thank you for all your support. Thank you for coming out last week and seeing me do stand-up. And I hope you guys came and rocked out. We had a great time because this is being recorded on Thursday and put out on a Monday. But I'm sure we packed it out. I can't believe I'm doing stand-up in Alabama. How crazy is that? I love
That's
it.
Fun. That's fun.
I love it. Okay, today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Lucy Gum. That's right, Lucy Gum. So we'll get into that in a little while. Today, I'm not going to do a lot of the business. Today, I'm going to get right into what I've been wanting to do for a long time with one of our guests here. I've been wanting to do this topic for a very, very long time. It's very personal to me, and I'm going to do an episode on this every year, so this is the first one, and we're going to be discussing the Armenian Genocide today. Joining me, I'm very excited, he is the publisher of the California Courier, Harut Sasonian. Did I grab? Bam, man, perfect. I got that. Bam, 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 bam. And then also joining me, I love her to death, she's one of the most talented comics and musicians I know, Mariette. Sujonian. There we go. Bam! I got that one.
Mariette Sujan.
Oh, if you missed it. It was so much pressure. I got to myself. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate
Thank
this.
You.
Thank you so much. As you know, the Armenian Genocide, we're going to debate whether it's been recognized or not recognized. It has touched my family personally. I called my aunt today and we were talking about it and it was super sad. Like her father's sisters were all mowed down dead right in front of him. He almost didn't even make it to America. It's pretty bad. And I think it's very important that we get this message out. We get the word out. How's it affected you? Do you have family in it?
Yes. My grandfather was a survivor of the genocide from Adana. And basically, the day he was born, his father heard about his birth and the Turkish soldiers there were mocking the father and were like, okay, we'll let you see your son before we kill you. And they decapitated him in front of my grandpa's mother.
Oh,
grandpa's
my
mother.
God.
They decapitated him. I don't know if he even saw my grandpa because, you know, and they walked through the Syrian desert with all his siblings. And they got to Tel Aviv, Palestine. So yeah, it was hurtful to know that about my grandfather and his family. And my father, I'm very proud of him because he's really a high-taught soldier, and there's not one protest he's ever missed in his entire life.
Wow.
He has closed his store every single year. Not because he has this prejudice against the Turks, and it's because he wants justice for what happened to his father and his people. And my grandmother, she wasn't born during the genocide, but she told me about how they hid in a basement. And, you know, a similar story to Siamanto's Khekhtama, where, you know, you have a mother who can't feed the baby, can't make milk for the baby, and the baby's crying, and there's a lot of people in the basement. And she either, like, if the baby keeps crying, they're going to find all these people hiding in the basement, including other children. So what does she do? She kills, strangles her own child. And, you know, so, I mean, this was, and I could really imagine myself, I sometimes think about it, and I really feel it, what they went through. And, you know, some people have the feeling, some don't. There are Armenians that really don't.
And we're going to get into all that.
Yeah.
How did you get involved in this? Because you're probably one of the most knowledgeable people on the subject.
Well, I've made this my
lifetime objective of bringing justice to the great crime and injustice committed by the Turkish government to my people. So when 1.5 million innocent men, women, and children get killed for no reason, they're innocent people, and we're the few that survived, we have a serious obligation to make sure that that crime does not go unnoticed, it's not forgotten, and that people are made to pay a price for their crime. And it's such a shame. And it's not just something that happened 100 years ago. This is happening every day in our lives, because to this day, the Turkish government and a lot of Turkish denialists, they deny that such a thing ever took place.
Still.
So the wounds, you know, they keep scratching the wound open and still hurting. A lot of people say, why don't you forget something that happened 100 years ago? Well, I'll be the first one to be very happy to forget it if the Turks apologize and made amends for the crime they committed. But when they say, no, we didn't do it, you're lying, that's, you know, adding insult, yes, insult to injury. And it's not something you forget. They remind you of what you suffered.
We in this country, if we deny any major event, any catastrophe to any group, we get pounded on in this country. If you minimalize slavery, if you minimize the Holocaust, you minimalize even 9/11, you get ridiculed. Yet this thing, this awful event, the Armenian Genocide, never gets recognized. Mm-hmm. And you can openly say to everybody that it is not, it never happened.
Well, as they say, it takes a great man or a woman to acknowledge their mistakes. Like Germany, they committed the Holocaust, but the German government acknowledged it, paid billions and billion dollars in compensation reparations, and they support Israel in whatever they do. To this day, they're trying to make up for it.
And
for,
this
for
happened on our land.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's the big difference between the Armenian Genocide and the Jewish Holocaust. The Jews were killed in a foreign land, whereas Armenians not only lost the people, but they also lost their culture, their civilization, their roots. They were cut off from their roots.
So where does this all start? How? Where? What events cause it? What it? You want to talk about what it means to be an Armenian and how this war affected that. And so why don't you begin with there?
Well, Armenians, to begin with, are an ancient race, an ancient civilization going back to thousands of years. They lived in their historic homeland. There were no Turks, no Turkish government, no Ottoman government, none of that back then. The Turks came in the 14th, 15th century. They conquered...
And this is what the Ottoman Empire.
The Ottoman Empire. They conquered Constantinople, which is now Istanbul. And they destroyed the Byzantine Empire, which was a Christian nation. And they also overran Armenia and the Armenian highlands. And they took over. So Armenians, Greeks, Assyrians, other minorities, they lived like slaves in their own land for 600 years. And they had to go through all sorts of,
unfair treatment, prejudice.
They came and took their children away from them and put them in the Turkish army, raised them as Muslims, and didn't let them learn their...
Really?
Yeah.
Raped a lot of Armenian women.
Yeah, a lot of the women they kidnapped and raped. And with the children, there was a special army called the Janissaries, who were a special army of the children of Greeks and Armenians who were kidnapped from the families at the age of one or two and raised as Turks, Muslims, and they were the fiercest fighters for the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
And until they, over time, they disappeared. But so after 600 years of living like this, and Armenians were very educated,
yeah,
very hardworking people, like a lot of other minorities, like Jews and Greeks in the Ottoman Empire.
We grind.
And they ran the commerce of the empire. They reached the highest levels of various professions. They were doctors, lawyers, members of parliament, diplomats. They knew multi languages, which the Turks did not. So at some point when World War I was about to start, the young Turks who took over from the Sultan, from the Ottoman Empire leadership, they thought this is a wonderful opportunity for us to get rid of this minority in our country, and they and they wanted to establish the Turkey they had from Turkey all the way to Central Asia. You know, there are a whole bunch of Turkic nations: Turkmenistan, Kirgizistan, Kazakhstan, etc.
Ottoman Empire was huge.
Yeah, they wanted to make a huge pan-Turkic empire, and standing on the way were the Armenians and the Greeks and the Jews. So they decided to eliminate them. And a lot of people also mistakenly think that Armenians were killed because they were Christian. Yes, we were Christians, Christian minority. And in fact, Armenians were the first nation to adopt Christianity in 301 AD. In the world,
yep.
10 years before the Roman Empire became Christian.
That's official.
Yeah, but basically, what the Turks were doing against Armenians more than religion, because it's not Muslim versus Christian. Armenians have lived in Muslim lands for many, many decades. We have no problem in Iran, for example, with a very strict Islamic government. We have no problem in Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, where there's Islamic Arab countries. But the Turks, it was a different problem. It was a racist attitude against the minority, and they resented what the minorities had. They had, you know, different professions. They had wealth. They owned properties. So during the genocide, by eliminating them, they also took over everything they owned. And they told them, everything is safe. Just we're going to take you away for a while. Then you'll come back, and we'll have your property. We're going to hold it for you. Well, they never saw their property, their land. My grandparents, just like her story.
Oh, my God.
You know, were also killed, you know, during the genocide. And they came to Syria, and where I was born. I was born in Syria as a result of the deportation and the genocide.
Oh, my God.
So now, you know, it's bad enough to be a victim of a mass crime. In 1915 to 1923, it lasted 8 years. But it's another thing to have another 100 years of surviving the genocide and being constantly told by Turkish leaders, no, you're lying, it didn't happen. It's the opposite, Armenians killed Turks, which is really insulting. And, you know, I mean, Turks were a huge empire, and yep. We were a little minority.
Yep.
We had no weapons to fight. We had no troops.
Yep.
How do we kill?
Around this time, also, the Ottoman Empire is starting to crumble, right?
Yes.
It's been extended too far. It's overreaching. This is what happens with most of your empires. They try to take over the entire world, and they just don't have the resources.
They called the Ottoman Empire towards the end the sick man of Europe. And they owed billions of dollars in debt to Germany, to England, to France, to Russia. They couldn't pay. Armenians were helping them pay their debts to the foreign countries. And so the Young Turks, they took over from Sultan. Initially, the Young Turks were supposed to be very liberal, open-minded people. And in fact, they promised the minorities that we're going to take care of you. You're not going to suffer anymore. You're going to be equal to anybody else. It's a new country, a liberal country. But then they did much worse than all the other massacres that came before them.
The Adana massacres.
Right.
So who are the Young Turks? Are they the entire army? Are they just a part of the government? Are they just a bunch of hitmen? Like, who are they? Are they the SS of the Turkish? Is that what they were?
Yeah, very close.
These kill squads?
Yeah, they're just...
There's a picture of them if you...
It's not a military group. It's a group of young men who were educated, many of them in the West. And some of them were raised in Salonika in Greece. And some of them were converted into Islam from their Jewish heritage.
They were Zionists, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of history that goes into this. And, you know, there were some Jewish circles that were trying to create Israel, and they promised to cooperate with the Sultan, that if we help you with the West, you will give us Israel. And they even tried to do propaganda in the West, trying to cover up the Armenian massacres
and
the genocide, so that they would look good. They were doing a favor to the Sultan. The Sultan would, in return, give them the Israel, which was occupied by the Ottoman Empire. at the time it was called Palestine. And so that's the story. And then as a result of the genocide, as I said, Armenians lost their lands, their culture, their language, their heritage, music, everything. And there were 1.5 million people that were killed, and several hundred thousand of them, there were about 2 million Armenians at the time, several hundred thousand of them were escaped to all over the Arab countries in the Middle East, and some to across the border in Armenia, and a lot of them came to France, to Marseille, and then and a lot of them came to Fresno and also in Watertown.
Oh, yeah, there's here.
Sorry, I just can't help to notice, we're both searching for the Young Turks to show you who they were, and yet the media company comes up.
Yeah.
Jen Huger and Anna Gasparian, which is what we have to talk
about. Ridiculous.
It's
ridiculous. Like,
that's called revisionism, by the way.
Well, that's called Google. So
search engine optimization.
How does it begin? They just go, they start going into towns and just like destroying business? Are they making new laws? How does it begin?
That's the symbolic value of the day of April 24. On April 24, the Turkish government very cleverly and hideously, they came to the homes of the top leadership, the intellectuals of the Armenian community. They were the members of parliament, doctors, lawyers, architects, writers, poets, and they came to their home, grabbed them. The police came and knocked on their door, grabbed them, told the family, don't worry to the wife, he'll come back tomorrow morning. And these people were taken. They were taken to the inland, to Anatolia, in the middle of nowhere, and on the way they were... like there was a famous Armenian writer, Grigor Zorab, who was a member of the Ottoman parliament.
Yep.
They took him in the middle of the desert, and they took a rock and smashed his head.
My God.
Alive, while he was still alive. So
yeah, they tortured them. I mean, it was very similar to some satanic ritual abuse.
You see what...
I study a lot of SRA, and a lot of it was that. It was torturing.
They basically, when they go conquer somebody, you take out all the intellectuals and all the alphas.
Yeah, it was premeditated then, like that. It was that was their strategy.
They did that in France. I think they did that in Iraq.
So after they got rid of the leadership, it's like when you take the leaders away, the people are like sheep. They're left without any direction, with no leadership. So then they came. They went through town after town. The police, the army, and they told everybody, okay, you have a couple of hours. Get out. Leave everything behind. Don't worry about it. We're gonna keep it safe for you. And then when you come back, you'll get it back. And then they took them out and. Men and children for countless days in the desert, in the Syrian desert, they deported them in the heat, no water, no food.
And where were they moving into?
They were moving into the desert in Syria.
It was a death march.
It was a death march, and
my grandfather was on that as a baby.
Yeah, and a lot of them died on the way. A lot of mothers threw their babies into rivers, from mountains and into the valleys, because they didn't want their kids being kidnapped from them, and they threw themselves from mountains.
God.
See, it was
war
very, very
is brutal,
tragic.
Dude. Yeah. People do awful things to each other.
These were the young.
They just
Turks.
Do awful
do
things to each other. Right. So. Is this before World War II? I mean, excuse me, World War I?
During World War I.
It's during World War I.
1915.
So, and Turkey is at war with Russia as well.
Yeah. Turkey was an ally of Germany against Russia, France, England, you know, against the Allies. They were the ally of Germany. And so when Germany lost the war, Turks also lost. They had already on the verge of their empire collapsing. So that war that they lost with Germany was the biggest mistake they made.
For sure.
Allying themselves with Germany.
For
sure. So when they lost, the Allies came over and occupied Turkey, and they divided into various areas. There was Woodrow Wilson drew the map for Armenia, and so there was an Armenian territory. There was a Kurdistan. Which they signed a treaty called the Treaty of Sèvres in France, and the Greeks took the southern part of Izmir or Smyrna was Greek inhabited, and the French were there, the British were there, and later on Kemal Atatürk, who is the founder of the modern Republic of Turkey, he started gathering his troops and his strength and started fighting back against the Allies, and the Allies started competing with each other who's going to get more concessions from Turkey on oil and other minerals and trade, and they started making giving various things to the Turks to be on their good side, so for their own business. And
Armenia, so they sell us out.
Yeah, well, but it had a major tragic consequence to Armenians, because after the Armenians were killed and some of them survived in the desert and came to Syria and Aleppo, Damascus, Lebanon, etc., when the Allies took over Turkey and they were a Christian nation, so Armenians believed, because they didn't believe that they would be gone forever. They also felt, we're going back home one day. So when the Allies came and took over Turkey, the Armenians
thought they were going to get it back.
They returned back to their original homeland, only to have the French do a secret deal with the Turkish leaders. And then one day in the middle of the night, they wrapped the hooves of their horses with cloth so they don't make any noise, and they just left town. And all these poor Armenians were already partially killed in 1915.
Oh my God! They were killed
a second time because the Turks were left alone with Armenians who had come back with the Allies. So the Turks now have even more.
The French just took off.
Yeah, took off.
And they left us high and dry.
Right.
Oh my God!
So that's the second part two of the genocide, which those who survived the first one, they got killed in the second one. There's still Armenians left in Syria from the genocide.
Yep.
And now many of them were, ran away because of the civil war in Syria with ISIS.
Yep.
And Turkey supporting ISIS against the Christians, the Greeks, the Armenians, the Kurds.
Hold on. So Turkey's funding ISIS?
Oh, Turkey has done so many things for ISIS. First of all the ISIS members came to Syria crossing the Turkish border.
Yes.
And the Turks helped them, not only let them go through the border, but armed them. And when they got wounded, they brought them to Turkey in hospitals and treated them. They funded them. They bought oil from them that they stole from Syria.
Yep.
So that, if it wasn't for Turkey, ISIS would have collapsed a long time ago.
Oh, my.
Yeah, both in Syria and Iraq, the Turks were supporting ISIS.
And it's just so amazing that, when America, when our politicians are always like, we got to go and do this regime change in this country and, free the people from the dictator. It's like, who's funding ISIS? And people don't know that. And that's why we had... Remember, Tulsi had an act, Stop Funding Terrorists Act?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, I think that, what we're doing in Yemen is just disgusting.
Yep.
It's disgusting.
And that's why we protest, too, because we're standing up for genocides that are happening right now. And that's what I'm going to be doing this April 24th in the protest. I'm going to be.
Where is it at?
It's in front of the Turkish consulate.
You have to come.
Yeah. So they go back in. They're making deals with all the allies. Do they take over Armenia, or does Armenia become part of Russia? What happens after that?
Well, in the meantime, a small portion of Armenia on the east side of Turkey, which was under Russian domination, Armenians declared their independence in that little piece of territory called the Republic of Armenia, and that republic lasted only 2 years, 1918 to 1920. By 1920, the Turks were attacking it from their side, and the Russians were attacking it. The communists took over Russia at the time. It was no longer Russian Empire. It was the Communist Party. So the Armenia fell to the hands of the communist Russians, and then became Soviet Armenian Republic, one of the 15 Soviet Republic, communist republics.
Well, okay.
Until 1991, when they became independent again. They're in it's independent republic now, Armenia. But Armenians were squeezed between all these major countries.
Yeah, I mean, Ottoman that Empire, area
Russian Empire,
is crazy.
Iran. And before then, there was the Arab conquest when the Islam came to power. So Armenians have always been at the crossroads of different major powers going through it. No matter who lost, who won, they would trample over Armenia and kill everybody living there. So Armenians always lost, no matter who won. They were the playground of the big powers.
Unbelievable, man. That area is so, just the whole, it's like that Mesopotamia area where everybody in there has been just warring forever. Turkey, Syria.
Right. Where everything started, though.
Yeah, that's where everything started. There's something else going on in there. So, the slaughters, were there work camps? Was it just moving? Because I remember I had relatives with tattoos. That's
right.
That happened as well, right?
Well, there's a special story about the tattoos, and there's somebody even made a documentary from Sweden about the tattooed women. What happened is a lot of them got killed. The American Red Cross sent a delegation, and they opened special camps for orphans. So they fed them, they helped them exercise, and they taught them languages, Armenian and English, and took care of them, and they gave them medicine, they made sure they survived. So thousands of Armenians survived as children because of the Red Cross.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And the Near East Foundation, at the time it was a charity called Near East Foundation, formed by the U.S. government. Besides the orphans that were saved, a lot of the orphans along the deportation way, they were kidnapped, stolen by Turkish families and Turkish government, and they put them in Turkish orphanages and Turkish locations and Turkified them and made them Muslim. A little kid, 1 year or 2 year old, they don't know anything yet. They don't know their name, they don't know they're Armenian, so they were raised as Turks. As an interesting development recently that just happened a few months ago, for some strange reason, the Turkish government, it turns out, even though we had heard about it, but that we didn't have a concrete evidence, but now we have the evidence, the Turkish government for decades has kept track every Turkish citizen's ethnic origin.
Really?
Yeah, they put a note, they put them like 1, 2, 3, 1 Armenian, 2 Greek, 3 Kurdish, like that. They codified them. And they had this in their database of the whole Turkish population. And but 6 months ago or around there, and all of a sudden, the Turkish government announced one day, with no reason given, which was very strange, that it's all computerized, and they gave the website, and they told Turks, you can go in and put your name in and your ID number as a citizen, and it will show you what your ethnic background is. And the whole country went berserk.
Yeah, because you're going to find out who's Armenian.
The website broke down because millions of people tried to go on the website at the same time, finding out. There were some crazy stories. Like there were some very extremist Turks who hate Armenians, who said the most vicious thing to Armenians. They put their name. They turn out they're Armenians themselves.
Oh, my God.
And some of the leaders of the staunchest political parties, extreme political parties, end up being Armenians because a lot of the kids were adopted,
Holy shit.
And raised as Turks, and they end up being doctors, lawyers.
That's like their MK Ultra over there, mind games, screwing with their brains? Yeah. Wow.
So no one to this day knows what prompted the Turkish leaders to divulge such a secretive information. And it almost broke the country apart because everybody found out their Greek origin, Armenian origin, Kurdish origin. It's all written. I mean, the government kept track of these people.
The Greeks were slaughtered as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who else was slaughtered?
Assyrians.
Yeah, Assyrians, Greeks, and Armenians. They were all... It was a genocide committed against all of them. Now, of course, one of the things I explain to people when we talk about the genocide, you know, the Turks make up all sorts of vicious lies about Armenian genocide. It didn't take place, or Armenians, they collaborated with the Russian army to stab Turkey in the back during World War, etc. Well, I tell them, okay, you badmouth Armenians, fine, we understand. But why did you kill Greeks? No, not even the Turks come up with the lie that the Greeks collaborated with the Russian army. Well, how about the poor Assyrians who didn't collaborate with anybody,
man,
in the middle of the country?
To be in Syria is just...
Yeah.
Man, you lost the lottery, huh? I mean, it's like, it's always at war, huh?
Yeah. And also, when they say that Armenians collaborate with the Russians, yeah, there were, a part of Turkey was close to the Armenian-Russian border, but the Turkish government, they deported the entire Armenian population from everywhere in Turkey, you know, all the way to Istanbul, and Istanbul and the neighboring areas are nowhere close, like they're 500 miles away from the border. And even if, let's say, some Armenian volunteers join the Russian army, okay, they're the ones who are your enemy, not the little children, old men and women. Well, what is their fault? In fact, in 1915, I found a document. I wrote a book about the Armenian genocide with key documents from the period. One of the documents I found out was from the Vatican. And the Pope at the time in 1915 wrote a letter to the Sultan saying, we're hearing very concerning, alarming news of mass killings happening in your country. And we are being told that some of the Armenians collaborate with Russians. But what is the fault of the children and the elderly? They didn't collaborate with anybody. They didn't do anything. Why are you killing everybody?
Dude, because they're just ruthless war criminals. That's what war criminals do. Because they just kill for no reason.
Yeah, well, their plan was to wipe out the Armenians as an ethnic group. And that's what makes it a genocide, the intent to eliminate entire race.
Yeah, that word was coined because of what happened.
Yeah, that's where they got the whole term was from the Armenian genocide.
The word genocide didn't exist in 1915, but there was another term called crimes against humanity. And Russia, France, and England, they signed together a document that warning the Turkish leaders in 1915, saying that you are committing crimes against humanity, and we're going to get you after the war when this is all over, which they never did, because Turks came back to power, and everybody started worshiping Kemal Atatürk, what a great leader he is, and we have people in Washington sometimes saying, oh, we worship Kemal Atatürk, he's a great leader. Nothing like that, you know.
Unbelievable.
He just continued the genocide that the Young Turks started, and he just took over from them, and he jailed many of them. And in fact, he made a statement in 1928. He gave an interview to a journalist from the Los Angeles Herald Examiner, which existed at the time. And I have a copy of the interview where he says, the Young Turks leaders killed millions of our Christian subjects. This is according to Atatürk, not according to me. Their own leaders acknowledged this in an interview with the...
How many people were lost?
Well, roughly about 1.5 million.
And how many total Armenians are there?
When?
Back then.
Back then there were about 2 million.
Oh, my God.
Like three quarters were killed out.
Wiped out.
Wiped out, yeah.
Three-fourths of your population gone. Right.
They wanted to have one Armenian in a museum. Like the bones of one Armenian.
Right,
museum.
Exactly.
What?
That's what Talat Pasha, the leader of the Young Turks, said. But by the time we finish with you, there'll be only one Armenian, and we're going to put them in a museum.
And the torture that they did was they basically hiked them into the desert, beat them, put them in working camps,
right.
Raping, pillaging.
They had camps too?
Killing.
Like Nazis? Like.
No, they didn't have extermination camps.
Yeah, not like that, right?
Working camps.
Yeah, I mean, they would march in the desert, and at night they would stop and sleep on the sand in the desert. It was like a makeshift camp. It wasn't really a camp with housing, nothing.
I remember Dr. Kevorkian saying that he wished his family got gassed instead of the torture that they endured. It was way more brutal. There are pictures of women who were raped, and crucified naked. And, I mean, it was just...
Oh, my God.
And some of the pictures of the orphans, some Lynched. Of the deportations.
So it could be one of, you know, my grandfather's.
The skulls.
Father.
And here's wow. the...
That's what I was
oh
talking about.
Oh, my God. People do the worst things to each other. It is unbelievable. Like, man, we just are just animals.
Yeah, and you know, wow.
Now, genetically, how different are Armenians from Turkish?
Well, the Armenians belong to the Indo-European race, and the Turks are from Central Asia, Mongolia, that area, so that we have nothing in common with them. No ethnic, no racial, no religious, no linguistic, nothing. I mean, they just came and took over the land, and now they, you know, as I said, I publish a newspaper, and my paper, I wrote a editorial, this week's paper, where on Turkish TV, a Turk who calls himself a gold digger, he's going around where Armenians used to live and looking for treasures buried by Armenians before the genocide. When they told them we're going to come back, so they just hid their gold and silver in their backyard, thinking that they're going to come back. Now this guy is going around and you know, searching
like
for
it. Like it's a beach, huh?
Yeah. I mean, like, people are getting, I mean, the Nazis were vilified, as they should be, for stealing Jewish jewels and gold and all that stuff. But these people are openly doing it now.
Well, some of the jewelry they stole during the deportation, like, they would come to men and women and would say, do you want a cup of water? Give me a piece of gold. People were dying of thirst. So whatever they had, they would give it up just to get a drop of water and their children. So many of them got robbed on the way, and whoever left their treasures behind, now they're being robbed 100 years later. And this guy very proudly on TV is explaining how he does it, how he picks it up, how he melts it and, you know, steals it. And on the top of killing people, they're continue stealing their leftover treasures 100 years later.
And, you know, you were talking about how it affects today, but there's something called transgenerational trauma.
Right.
Which is trauma that is transferred from the first generation of trauma survivors to the second and further generations of offspring of the survivors via complex post-traumatic stress disorder mechanisms. So, yeah, it does. I mean, there are Armenians that don't care about the genocide at all, and we'll get to that. I really want to discuss.
Let's do it.
The Young Turks.
It's unbelievable.
The show,
to
but
me.
Before that, can you do you know about Operation Nemesis?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start. So we want to talk about the Young Turks. Now, who are the Young Turks? They're a quote unquote left wing news website, and they do opinion pieces, and they're
it's a political chit chat show.
Yes.
And, I mean, they have millions of videos on the Kardashians. Kim Kardashian loses her earring. They have that, but they don't have one on the Armenian genocide. And they're supposed to be a political, you know. They have, Anna Gasparian has one separately on her channel. And we'll get to that. But, yeah, the Young Turks.
The Young Turks, that's like
is a liberal, a progressive. I don't like to use the word progressive.
It's like the hip Nazis, right? It's just like. It's literally the stormtrooper. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Basically, people compare it to, like, let's say there's a progressive news organization called the Nazis or the Third Reich or Hitler Youth. And there's the CEO, which has a history of denying the Holocaust. And there's a Jewish co-host on it that says the Nazis or Hitler Youth and tells all the other Jews, get over it. Get over it. I don't deny the Holocaust, as she sits in front of that banner.
I can't believe that she goes on that show. How much money is enough money? I mean, dude.
She's bought, definitely. So I was checking her out. Anahit Misak Kasparian.
It makes no sense. Why would you do that?
Well, I looked into this, and she has a YouTube video from 2010 from her channel. A vlog.
So disgusting.
Where she says that she needed she wanted to go on a trip to Europe, and money is money, and she took the job. That's what she says in her own words. For a trip to Europe, and money is money. And then she said, at first I was skeptical of the name of the show, but then I chose to have an open mind.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
It's like having a show now called Young Nazis.
Yeah,
and you know what bothers me so much about the show is that they see Nazis on every corner. Like, it's all about that.
It's
Nazis, 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 Nazis.
Unbelievable, dude. And, I am so disgusted.
Yeah, and on top of that, they have a problem with the name the Redskins. They have videos that they are so offended that there's a team by the name the Redskins, and they have to change the name of their show. Yeah, so Cenk Uygur.
Yeah, who's this guy?
He's the CEO of this.
He's Turkish, obviously.
Yes, he's Turkish. And let me see. So my friend Hovik Manucharyan, he did an article on Medium, and it's basically a timeline of Cenk Uygur's denial of the Armenian genocide. So he... For when he created this show, he already had articles. When he created this brand name, like, he didn't create this brand name, but for his media company, he had already written articles denying the Armenian genocide. And so he very well knew who the Young Turks were. He's Turkish. He knows. And if you're Armenian or you're Turkish, you know who the Young Turks were.
It's the most offensive name. And it goes back to the Redskins. The only reason the Redskins are allowed to go is because Native Americans have no political clout.
Right.
There's several words we could say, the New York N-words, the Kansas City K-words. I mean, we could go on that forever about words that it's the equivalent to. And the fact that Armenians have very little political power is the only reason this flies. It is so offensive.
And what's really offensive is that, so he was denying it the whole time, and Anna was working with him the entire time that he denied it. And then once people started getting educated about this, he wrote a letter that he's taking back what he said about the Armenian genocide. But basically, it was a cop-out. He said that, I'm not a historian, so I cannot say.
He's so nuts, and he's lying.
But he talks about history and all his other videos. So he made Anna post it on Twitter. So everyone was like, okay. And then in 2 years ago, he finally admitted in a video that the Armenian genocide did happen.
Yeah.
But it took that long. And it was like a side note just to, you know, for them to check it off. You
Change know, because, the name.
Because what happened was a lot of people started getting educated about it and learning about the name. And what they do, they always say it's right-wing trolls doing this. It's the right-wing trolls doing this. I've been called a troll by Bernie Sanders supporters.
Oh, my God.
They worship.
Why?
These people have tattoos of the Young Turks. They worship the Young Turks.
They think they're
like these, you know.
Yeah, they're...
And then Anna does this video... mocking Armenians. You're an effing moron. You're an idiot. Educate yourself. Look in the dictionary. It says, you know, something about it being a rebel. The Young Turk means a rebel taking on the establishment. But she needs to educate herself.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, she's either ignorant or she's lying.
Right.
I think she's a little bit of both.
She's probably just finessing the truth.
But
probably doesn't even get close to that.
That name, it comes from the party. That's where it comes from. And by them doing it and to make it seem like they were these progressive rebels,
complete revisionist history.
That's what it is. And when you go on Google or any other, like, you know, their search engine optimization, it's there to make you think like the Young Turks is something, you know.
Can she go anywhere where Armenians are?
I don't think so, no. She's been, they do protest her at certain events. And so anyway, there was this article last year that came out, Playboy, by the writer Artavana, and he basically said that she's complicit in this, you know, and they went crazy. So she made a video saying that, calling Playboy out, calling Artavana out, and she totally does a whole spin in the video.
Unbelievable.
So she puts the part that Cenk talks about the genocide, but that was in 2017. And it's like, he should have made a video called that. Like, just let's discuss the Armenian genocide. He's never done that.
Let's discuss the name.
Let's discuss the name. And so he did that, and then she says, why aren't you guys mad at Rod Stewart? He has a name. He has a song called The Young Turk or whatever. But Rod Stewart is not a Turkish man with a history of denying the genocide. So Rod Stewart is ignorant about it, you know? I would believe if you said Rod Stewart is ignorant, I would believe you. But
yeah, but that's a song from a million years ago. And nobody knows that song. And nobody cares.
And it's a song.
It's a stupid song.
It's a song. It's not a progressive show. It's not even a right-wing show.
If he had a band and his name was Young Turks, I could understand how you can say that that's the same thing. The band of the name, like,
oh
if their
God.
Name was
And they make jokes. Crazy. Oh, like, oh, the Third Reich, that wouldn't be a smart, you know, move for a band. They do that. They joke around about it. It's pathetic.
How much money's enough money, man? How much money? And it's just like, this is typical left, and I'm a liberal, but this is a typical left. It's make a rule and then
double
break
standard.
It,
there's a double standard.
And nobody cares.
And nobody cares. And I was a delegate for Bernie Sanders in 2016. This is when it became hard for me because I remember seeing them in 2007 on YouTube. And that's how they became very successful because they were the very first content creators. They were making consistent videos.
Oh,
so that's
God.
The trick. It's not about how intelligent or talented or beautiful you are. It's always about, are you making consistent content? And they were the first that kind of did that. And I was like, I can't believe there's a show called The Young Turks. I couldn't believe it.
It's mind-blowing.
My friends and I were like, because I learned about it at a very young age. You know, I went to an army and private school, so I... And, yeah, and it kept going. I was like, I hope, you know, they change the name of the show because they can do it. Like, Kentucky Fried Chicken went to KFC. They legally can do it, TYT.
You can change your name. It's an Networks ego. Do it all the time.
Of course. They could totally do it, but they refuse because it's the ego thing. Well, they don't want to admit they're wrong.
We're going to have to push back a little bit.
So I was a... delegate for Bernie Sanders in 2016, and this is where it was so difficult. I even went to a rally in Santa Monica, a huge rally, and Cenk Uygur was there giving, and then there's Bernie, Cenk from the Young Turks, and everyone's like, woo, the Young Turks! And it was so uncomfortable. And this is when I would see their videos a lot, because a lot of my Bernie friends would like post their videos, because at the time the media was not really covering Bernie, so they were the ones, and it was a good opportunity for their business too, you know. And people think like, oh, they champion Bernie, these are activists, you know. And so
unbelievable.
Not to defend the those Bernie fans,
unbelievable,
but they're my age. And in my high school, we never learned about the Armenian genocide.
No, but here's the thing.
So, which is fucked
up. It's brought to their attention, okay? This is brought to their attention. I understand if you're ignorant about it.
Yeah, because I remember watching The Young Turks, like you said, in like 2007, when they started coming up, I was like, this is dope. This isn't regular news.
Of course.
But as a millennial, as my age, the only one we heard was Rwanda. And
no, of course.
Those are the only two Holocausts
I've ever heard. Of course, because, you know, they make you learn about... the Holocaust. They make sure you know about the Holocaust. And it's in all in the movies, and it's mentioned in TV shows, even though it has nothing to do with, you know, that scene. They make sure you know about the Holocaust. But the Armenian Genocide, a lot of people are ignorant to it. I understand that. But these Bernie people, I brought this to their attention. They're calling me trolls. They're deleting me. They're unfriending me. I mean, my own good friends. I had a guy
say... And they're Armenians.
No, but there are Armenians who defend Anna Gasparyan. Very few, but I'll get into that.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, Bernie Sanders, like, supporters, not all, of course, but a lot, they love the Young Turks. And the thing is, like, they don't want to believe that they're dishonest, but just with their reporting, they are dishonest. We've seen that in the last couple of years on many topics.
Dude, they were pushing Russiagate forever.
Of course.
They're idiots, and I'm embarrassed for them. Because they've been on the wrong side of a lot of stuff lately.
And the thing
and
is,
it really sucks.
A lot of the thing is, like, people worship these media people, like how they worship politicians. And I had friends that didn't believe in Russiagate. They thought whoever believed it was an idiot. Up until Cenk and Anna started pushing it. Then they're like, oh, well, if Anna and Cenk are saying it, and they're so smart, and they're leading this progressive thing. So, I don't know. It's just weird. And... so Wesley Clark Jr. was on the show. He left, and he went crazy one day on Twitter telling, he's like, I reported Cenk to the FBI.
Oh, yeah, he went nuts,
He went nuts, and everyone's like, oh, he suffers from PTSD or something, and he can't, you know. And he was just like, he has a pack called the...
Oh, my God.
The wolf pack?
Yeah.
The wolf pack. And the icon is a gray wolf. So if you know... So tell us who the gray wolves are.
Yeah. I mean...
Well, it's an extreme...
So he thought Wesley Clark...
radical political movement in Turkey, the gray wolves.
And they exist very well today. And so they think, like, Wesley Clark he was saying that the wolf pack is probably, like... He's a low-key, like, ultra-Turkish nationalist, like Cenk, you know, pretending to be this.
My
so
God.
He could be saying that it's, you know... But there was this icon that was exactly like the Grey Wolves. So I'm like, oh my God, that can't be.
Now, who are the Grey...
They assassinated Hrant Dink, the journalist, in 2007.
Oh my God.
That's how it affects today.
So they're like, another like hit squad?
Well, they're very radical, extreme, ultra-nationalists, and they hate Armenians. And they
murdered the journalist Hrant Dink in 2007. That's why when people are like, get over it. I'm like, journalists in modern times get assassinated for this.
And there are a lot of them in Germany among the Turkish immigrants. They go and fight with any Kurd or Turk who doesn't support their radical agenda.
So
even in Germany, let alone in Turkey.
So Sevag, this is Sevag. I don't know how to pronounce his name, Baliki. He was assassinated on April 24 in 2011, which is Genocide Remembrance Day, April 24.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was a Turkish soldier of Armenian descent. And so after that, his family moved to Armenia, to Yerevan. And I met them without knowing they have a restaurant in Yerevan. And so, I mean, these hate crimes exist till this day.
To this day.
So I hate it when people say, get over it.
It's so unstable.
We're not victims. Get over the victim mentality. I'm like, I'm sorry to say, but this exists.
For sure. It's really sad.
And you know what happens during the protests? Because I have Armenian friends who, like, they are indifferent on this topic. And they get angry. It's a personal hang-up that they have. Something against their own people. Something happened, like, you know, growing up where they hate their own people. They hate Armenians. But they take it out on this issue, you know. But they get mad. They're like, we're sick of Armenians hating on the Turks, the innocent Turks. What are they doing? I'm like, it's not that we're hating on all Turks. That's not what's happening. But there is a very strong denial campaign. And during the protests, there's a bunch of Turks saying, it did not happen, it did not happen, cussing us out. There are helicopters waving the Turkish flag saying this is a, you know, this is a lie.
Oh my God.
It's been that for a while.
It's unbelievable what we get, and it's all geopolitical, right? Everybody kind of has to work with Turkey, and that's why they're allowed to get away with this. For the longest time, they were Israel's only... only a friend in the area,
mm-hmm.
ally.
It's all that.
So they have to play that game.
They love war.
Where is it national? Where is it internationally with recognition?
Okay, well, you know, I've spent a good chunk of my life on getting national and international recognition for the genocide. I was a human rights delegate at the United Nations in Geneva, Switzerland for 10 years, where I took the floor and spoke as a NGO, non-governmental organization representative. And the United Nations, to its credit, finally, with a lot of effort, in 1985, adopted a report recognizing the Armenian Genocide, and so did the European Parliament, and they've done it repeatedly. And we have about 30 different governments that have acknowledged officially the genocide. The only one that there's a lot of confusion, even among the Armenian community, is the United States. And because Armenians confuse the fact that the President of the United States in recent years, does not use the word genocide in his annual proclamations that he issues on April 24. So leads Armenians to believe that the U.S. government does not acknowledge the genocide, which is not true. I lecture about this I've lectured about 25 countries on the subject, but to make it very brief, 1 minute long speech, in 1951, all the way in 1951, the U.S. government sent a document to the World Court. It's called officially International Court of Justice, ICJ, the World Court, acknowledging that there were two genocides in history, the Jewish Holocaust and the Armenian Genocide. So it's written down and sent to the World Court.
And there's been tons of genocides there was in Baghdad, in Africa.
Right.
I mean, there's been a lot of ugly moments in American history.
Right. And we acknowledge all of them, and we respect the victims of the genocide, and all the victims should have the biggest sympathy of other victims of the same killing. That's why it's so sad when the Israeli government denies the genocide. And I was invited to Israel 2 years ago to lecture at the university on the Armenian genocide. And there were a lot of scholars, and later on they took me and I at a meeting with the President of Israel on the Armenian Genocide. And I told the president, I said, Mr. President, we're not asking you to do a favor to us by acknowledging the genocide. If you acknowledge the genocide, it's the biggest favor you do for yourself,
right,
for your own reputation. How can the descendants of a genocide, the Holocaust, deny the genocide of another people? You should be not the last country to acknowledge it, the first country you should have been to acknowledge it. And if you ever acknowledge it, it will be for your own good, so that you'll have some respect in the international community as a decent country that acknowledges the truth and doesn't sell genocide for any political self-interest. You know, this isn't something you bargain with. Genocide isn't something you bargain with. It's 1.5 million people's lives that we're talking about.
It's unbelievable.
We're not talking about $100, $200, or buying
Israel
something.
Does Israel not want to recognize it either, so that it doesn't
Israel doesn't
doesn't devalue their Holocaust?
But I must distinguish between the official Israeli government's position and a lot of the Israeli citizens and Jewish Americans. We have a lot of support in among the people and among Jewish and Israeli scholars. In fact, they're one of the first ones to write about the Armenian Genocide in books and lectures. But the government very stupidly and wrongly denies and sides with the Turkish denial. And what I told the president was, if on day one, when the Turks pressured Israel to deny it, if you had said, no, this is a fact of history, we can't go back and change something that happened 100 years ago just to be your friend, you have to accept history as it is, then they would have not bothered you. They would have maybe cussed you out and write an article against you, and then they would forget about it. But once you give in, you cave in to their pressure, there's no end to it. Then they will continue doing it knowing that you're caving in. I give the example of France. When France was passing a resolution in the parliament and the Senate to recognize genocide, the Turkish government withdrew its ambassador from Paris and said they're going to cut off all trade with France. And French government went ahead and acknowledged the genocide. They passed that resolution. And Turkey, after 3 months, they sent the ambassador back. And now trade is three times as much as it used to be before they recognized genocide. So all these lies, they try to bluff people, they try to bully them, try to scare them. And you should not give in to these people. Once you give in, you're finished. You have to, that's the same problem we have with the U.S. presidents. U.S. president is scared of using the word genocide in his annual commemorative statement.
Why?
Because Turks will be upset. So what? Let them be upset. It's like we can't say Holocaust, let's say, because Germany will be upset. You know, we'll tell German leaders, too bad, too tough, you're going to be upset. But we're not going to change the history just because you're not happy with it. You have to tell the truth. You cannot lie about some mass murder. Right? It's just unconscionable. And
it's just... I'm really in shock right now.
You know, I'm going back to one thing you asked that I did not answer about the tattoos. A lot of the young people, when they were kidnapped and adopted by the Turks and also Arabs in the desert, there were a lot of Arabs living in the Syrian desert, Bedouins they call them, and they adopted them. And the Arabs have a system where they put a tattoo on the face, on the neck, or on their hands, on the arms of the children. And each tribe has its own unique way of tattooing so that everybody knows that kid belongs to this tribe and not to the other tribe. So, and a lot of the kids at some point were able to escape from the tribe and they end up in major cities where Armenians live or Europe, United States. So they still have those tattoos. They're very old people. And that's what the tattoos come from. It's like branding that you belong to their tribe.
Wow.
There's so much to say on this topic. I'm going to remember everything. But there's a Turkish scholar that wrote a book about the young Turks. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
Taner Akçam, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are Turks that admit, you know, the genocide occurred. And, you know, this is important. I wanted to mention this about Cenk. So, he did the Turkish Coalition of America.
Mm-hmm.
They held a youth leadership Where is this? He supports the TCA, which is an organization known for denying the Armenian genocide and prevent its teachings in schools or whatnot. So Cenk, they have like this yearly thing that they do, and they have popular genocide deniers on that. One of which was Dennis Hastert, I believe his name, Democrat, right?
It was the Speaker of the House.
Pedophile,
From Michigan, a pedophile. He went to jail for that.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
And he was leading the impeachment of Trump, by the way. And so they have people like him and Cenk giving speeches at this. So Kate Nahabedian told Anna Gasparian on Twitter, okay, then can you address why Cenk is still working with this organization in recent years? Can you please say that? And Anna didn't say anything about that. So I think, you know, he could say the genocide occurred, but just look at his actions.
God damn.
Yeah, well, the
I'm speechless.
The other subject we need to cover today, it's important. The Turks not just deny the genocide by words, by just saying it didn't happen. They've been spending for decades tens of millions of dollars in the United States hiring the most expensive U.S. lobbying firms in Washington. Hiring the major leaders of Congress when they retire from Congress, like Dennis Hastert worked for the Turkish lobby, and many others who were Speaker of the House or Majority Leader, they end up on the Turkish payroll. And Dennis Hastert was the Speaker. It came out, the Vanity Fair did a major expose. He was getting cash in bags, bag full of cash during his campaign. From Turks.
Oh my. And did we sell each other out?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what people do to their fellow man for a dollar.
And he was a pedophile, and the Turks invited him to visit Turkey, and they would send young Turkish boys to his hotel room.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know that part.
And Hastert is the one that blocked the voting on the Armenian Genocide Resolution in the House when he had said that he will. He came to Glendale. Dennis Hastert, I remember, and he said, I'm going to let the vote go on. And then last minute, half hour before the vote came, he blocked the vote. It wouldn't allow it because it would have passed overwhelmingly. Going back to your question about genocide recognition, I'm going to give the highlights. I mentioned the 1951, the U.S. official document sent to the World Court. But that's not the only thing. Then we go to 1975, when there was a resolution adopted by the House of Representatives, unanimously adopted, saying Armenian Genocide and commemorating April 24 as the anniversary of the Armenian Genocide, 1975. Then a second time, a similar resolution came out to vote again in 1984 in the House. Again, it passed overwhelming majority. And then the fourth item is in 1981, April 22nd, President Ronald Reagan issued a presidential proclamation as president, not candidate, as president, talking about the Armenian Genocide and the Jewish Holocaust and Cambodian Genocide. So we have at the highest level, we have two congressional resolutions, we have President of the United States, we have a World Court document. What else do we need to have it recognized? When we look at the list of the countries that are recognized genocide, most of those countries have adopted a resolution in their own parliament, which is similar to the Congress. So if those countries, we recognize that they recognize genocide, we acknowledge it, then U.S. also is on the forefront of these countries. It's just that people get confused by our chicken shit presidents who are scared of Turkey, of saying genocide because Turks will be upset. You know, we should not be scared of Turkey. Turkey should be scared of us. Who's the superpower?
Yeah.
It's very shameful.
Israel's in play. Yeah. Israel's in play.
Yes.
Everybody needs Turkey because no one else gets along there. It sucks.
I also want to add Hollywood is another wing of the propaganda machine. And this is how, you know, movies are politics too. And so they tried to do this movie called 40 Days of Musadag. Mm-hmm. And it didn't work out. I mean, the Turkish lobby really tried. Have you watched The Promise?
Yes, with my mother, we cried.
Talk about that movie. So it finally happened. We had a movie.
So we get one. Right. My Hebrew friends get one for every person lost. We only get one movie.
And they went through hell making that movie, too, because of unbelievable. The Turkish lobby and all that.
It's unbelievable. It's a wonderful movie. It's so well done. It's beautifully written, and it was a great movie, and I'm just, wow.
Back in the 30s, there was a writer, an Austrian writer called Franz Werfel,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote a book, 40 Days of Musadar.
Yes.
It tells a story of a group of Armenians during the genocide who escaped to the mountain, and they had the guns, and the Turkish army came surround the mountain, wanted to kill them. They defended themselves, and then it's very close to the Mediterranean Sea, and then some French ships came, and they made a big sign letting the French know that there are Christian Armenians being killed. So at night they escaped, they came on board the ships and escaped. So this story, MGM bought the rights, the script, to make a movie, and they start hiring major Hollywood actors, etc. And the Turkish ambassador in Washington heard about it, and he complained to the State Department. The State Department wrote to MGM owners, and they blocked the movie from being made.
Oh, my God. It's because they just don't want anyone talking about this genocide, and they want to talk about the other one. It's unbelievable to me, and it's so tragic. It's just like, why do people do this to each other? It's just so sad, right? I mean, it's just tragic.
Now, the other...
Money ruins everything.
The other important part of this story, before we leave today, we should cover it. It's, why are the Turks so scared of being accused of committing genocide? There are several reasons why. The first one is that they brag about how proud they are to be Turks, just like the young Turks. So when you tell them your grandparents committed genocide, they go, what? My grandparents? They were the nicest people. They would never kill a fly. So they refuse to accept.
Yeah.
And Erdogan, the current president of Turkey, said, we're good Muslims. A good Muslim will not kill anybody. Well, yes, if they were good Muslims, but they were not good Muslims. They did not believe in religion. A really man of religion, of any religion, would not touch anybody. That I accept. But they were not. They used religion as an excuse to provoke the people, the mobs, the masses, against the Christian Armenians. But they didn't believe it themselves. They were bad Muslims themselves. So anyway, that's the first reason, because it's their pride.
Wow.
The second reason is that Armenians always say, and I've heard this ever since I was a child, around the world we say this, we've said this a million times, well, Armenians demand three R's from Turks: recognition, restitution, and return of the lands, of the homeland. So those three R's. So the Turks have heard this a million times. So even the most ignorant Turk knows that Armenians are after three things. So what's the first thing that Armenians want? Recognition of genocide.
Yeah, for sure.
So the Turks are not stupid. They're very clever. They see that Armenians want three things. First one is recognition. So it's very simple. You say, no, there was no genocide. You don't recognize it. If you don't recognize it, then there's no number two, number three. Then you block two and three. Because if you recognize one, you're going to pay amends, and then you're going to give the land back, historic Armenian homeland that they took over. So that's the reason. But my answer to the Turks who say that, because they're ignorant, they don't know international law. Under international law, Armenians do not need to wait for the Turks to acknowledge that they killed in order to file a lawsuit in international court.
Right.
And unfortunately, in international court, only governments can sue. Individuals, organizations, political parties cannot sue. Only governments or a member have the right to sue. So Armenia has its own share of problems ever since independence, a young country. So they're the last people now. They want to get in a war with the most powerful country in the region, Turkey. Turkey has the second largest army in NATO after the United States. and they're the 15th largest economy in the world. So, and
Armenia, nobody wants to mess with that.
Yeah,
Armenia is
super tiny little thing, and they barely survive.
Wow.
They already have a war with Azerbaijan over Nagorno-Karabakh. So already they have their hands full with the war.
That's why we have to strengthen Armenia. You know? The thing is, a lot of people who are criticize Armenians for talking about the genocide, like, oh, it's victim mentality. I don't see them doing anything for Armenia, though. If you want to move past that victim mentality that you're talking about, why don't you try to help create businesses in Armenia, visit Armenia even, which they don't. Or, you know, help strengthen the military somehow, or, you know, the families of the fallen soldiers.
Try being nice. How about that one? Good luck.
Yeah.
Money and power just ruin everything.
I wanted to also, we wanted to talk about Operation Nemesis.
Right.
What ended up happening to the Young Turks? You have if there's a movie, the next movie that has to be on the genocide, it has to be about the what happened to the Young Turks, Operation Nemesis.
All right.
So what happened after the, a couple of important things, after the genocide, when the Allies took over the country, a lot of the Turkish leaders, the masterminds of the genocide, they escaped to Germany, which was their former ally. And Turkish courts held trials of this masterminds of the genocide.
The Young Turks.
And of the Young Turks. And a lot of them were sentenced to death. And, you know, not everybody escaped. The top leaders escaped, but there are a lot of middle-level people. They arrested them and put them in jail. The Turkish court. So this is pre-Nuremberg.
Yeah.
So this is very important that the Turkish court itself sentenced these people for their crimes. And then the leaders, there were the three of them, they're called triumvirate, the Kamal, Jamal, and...
them.
They sound like Jackson 5.
Yeah.
They were assassinated.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. So the Armenian Revolutionary Federation, they sent undercover young men to seek them out, who were hiding in Germany, blending in with the society, and staying away from public places. But they found out who they are, where they are, and they put a bullet in the heads and killed every one of those leaders.
That's
so some in Berlin.
Those are them.
And some in...
They got assassinated.
And some in Rome.
That's what happened to the Young Turks, okay?
Yeah.
Got taken out.
Good.
Good, man. Unbelievable.
How many Young Turks would you say was like?
Well, the key ones that we know about, we've studied, is about 100.
100? So 100 took.
But those three are the leaders that you're seeing on the screen.
So 100 people did all that?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Well.
Yeah, no,
they
I
had
know,
their
but
followers,
but I'm just saying, like, it's crazy.
Talat, their leader, he gave the orders. He sent a telegram to every town around the empire, to the local mayors and governors. Say, collect all the Armenians and take them out and kill them.
Oh, yeah. And they even had, like, crazies in prison. They took out those crazies in prison
to
go and kill
the prisoners. They released the prisoners
to
go and kill Armenians.
Oh,
damn.
Well, running everywhere.
This is insane. And I'm sorry. I've been shocked the whole time. It's just hard to hear. It's just really hard to hear. Just that there should be a golden rule and should rule them all. It's a golden rule for everybody, not just some of the people. And it's really sad that money makes people turn their head to tyranny and injustice. And it's really sad. Rich people really fuck with poor people, man. And it's all over cash, and it doesn't have to be. It's super sad. Man, that sucks. I want to thank both of you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
amazing.
Us.
Thank
it
you.
It was a good show. I didn't talk a lot because I was pretty, like, blown away. You guys are great. Mm-hmm. Thank you for doing the show. Okay. And, hopefully we'll see you guys soon. Take care.
Okay.
That was great.
I'm going to use the restroom and take a picture with you.